Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are reminded of that the believing heart, a change takes place. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin." That's what we were. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the counsel, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Now, in order to appreciate being saved, you have to have an understanding of what you were when you were unsaved. You have to know what you were. You don't appreciate health. We take it all for granted. All the stuff in here, running, the lungs, everything's, as long as it's normal, you don't have a liveritis or kidneyitis or lungitis. It's when it happens that you don't have that comfort, that you're hurt, you're pain, you're sick. And then you are aware of the fact, you are awakened to the fact that, boy, isn't it good not to be sick? Isn't it good? God, we have to understand that God would help us. We have to remember that we were lost in sin. God has given us life in our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember where we were, who we were, what we were, in order to appreciate where we are. That is true for our country also. And in the light of that, being Memorial Day, and being here on planet Earth, we would reminding us how we are in this part of the world as opposed to some other part of the world. We are here because of the Pilgrims and the Puritans, and that's why we're here. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in those days of the early founding of our country, they were under the government, under the rule of England. Of course, England abused that rule, etc. And in the process of that, they formed a government. And James Madison, the fourth president of these United States, James Madison from Virginia said this when they were forming Declaration of the Constitution. "No, there is no model like it on the face of the earth." And that is true. You need to understand that. Israel is a special model government. All the other governments and all the other nations are different. We are unique, one of a kind, never to happen again as a nation. Never to happen again. Now, keeping in mind, and even in the millennium it won't be that, because it'll be God's government at that time. So now, in the light of all of that, to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and thus reading, if I may, the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed, provided with, by their Creator, with certain unalienable, not able to be transferred to anyone else, unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Paragraph again, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, or to institute a new government. We have a wonderful freedom to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As a nation, that's how we started off, and with all the complications and all the problems of yesterday, recognizing and realizing them, we started off having a wonderful, wonderful pursuit, generally speaking. And it was understood by the 13 states that formed our country. And they sought to protect these truths, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, among others. And so then came the Civil War with the South, and the happiness we had was disturbed, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the word happiness, when it says happiness, what does that mean? It means the enjoyment of God and good happiness back then in the dictionary, Webster's dictionary. What is happiness? It's the enjoyment of God and good. That's what they understood. So now, keeping that in mind, if you would. So in May 5th, 1868, John Logan, remember, the commander-in-chief of the Grand Army, instituted and brought forth the Memorial Day as we know it. For the purpose, quote, for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country. Now remember the Civil War, down south they had already had commemorative services. This is the first one nationally. And thus they're going to have the remembrance of all those that gave their lives for our country. Men and women have been willing to die, to protect our right to know the truth, to pursue our right to possess the truth, to provide our right to exercise the truth. It's all about truth. We hold these truths, not like anything else. And then it names them. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, again, the Constitution Declaration. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. We mutually pledge. The end of the Declaration. July 4th, 1776. When the cost is lost, the loss will cost us. When we forget, when we don't remember, we aren't trying to ever go back and live in the past. That isn't what you're talking about. You aren't trying to. You don't want to go live in the past, even if you think you would like to go live in the past. You don't want to live in the past. You want to go into the future. The future is always better than the past. Where you have come from is always going to be improved with where you're going. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from him, I understand the reluctance to go forward, but you have to go forward. Now, so in the light of that, this Memorial Day, it is commemorative, and we don't, it's a wonderful time, actually. It doesn't have the meaning it once had. The parades, saluting of the flag, the patriotism. Where is that? Well, we don't hardly have that. Not have it. We don't even have it in the government. Not even in the government. Let alone the people. So here in this considering, we don't have much. We notice the absence of patriotism. We notice the absence of Memorial Day, of the men and women and the many who lost life and limb. Very hard to remember that. See, so distant away. It'd be like thinking of the dinosaurs. I mean, when's the last time you worried about a dinosaur? Even thought about a dinosaur? You don't think about them. No, not at all. No. So, what I'd like to do, this part, we'll do another part tonight, I hope, be better. In the process, I would like to make a comparison. And I'm going to give you a history lesson, remind ourselves of a history lesson, using Israel to gain advantage for today. Over in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The book of Exodus and chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 12. Exodus 12, 12. This is, remember, the Israel is going to leave Egypt. 400 years of slavery, one generation after another, one after another. Raised as slaves, lived as slaves, died as slaves. Verse 12. Chapter 12. For I will pass through, said the Lord, through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever. You're never going to forget where you were. You were lost in sin. You were dead. Separated, eternally separated from God. Well, I'm not yet. Well, you are if you're not saved. And if you don't get saved, you are eternally. That's called the second death. Eternal separation. Second death. All over. No more. Wow. That doesn't mean you're annihilated or terminated. It means you're separated, alive and well, as it were, from God forever. Wow. So, God said, I don't want you to forget, Israel, if you're going to appreciate, if you're going to experience, if you're going to enjoy being my people, enjoy truth, freedom, then you're going to have to pay attention. I don't want you to forget what you were. You were slaves, slaves in sin, all of your life, one generation after the next. I don't want you to forget. Do not lose that in your memory. It is a very personal experience. Over, if you would, to chapter 13. Well, no, I'm going to go back the other way for a moment. Chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Just to tie it together a little better. For the experiencing of their wonderful gladness, they had to have a wonderful remembrance. Not to live in the past, just to remember. There but for the grace of God, you know. There but for the grace of God, go I. Wow. Chapter 3, verse 17, Exodus. And I have said, I will bring you out of the afflictions of Egypt unto me. The land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. They are acknowledging God. They are acknowledging God. They are not experiencing it. They're acknowledging it. It's one thing to acknowledge truth, freedom. It's another thing to experience that. It's one thing to know something. And it's a whole nother world to understand it. And past that, we narrow down, it's a whole nother world to enjoy what you understand. To practice what you know. That's a whole nother world, you say. Wow. God, so Israel, how are we ever going to get to that place? You're going to have to never forget. Never, never forget. Now, Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. And in verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Now, in the light of that movement, you'd think, Israel, here's your list of one. If you stop and pay attention to each thing, I will rid you of your bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you. I will provide for you. I will. All of these things. You would think there'd be an experience of wow. But there isn't. Because this wonderful truth, but it isn't understood. It isn't taken in here to have it. So it's out here. It's out here. The Bible's out here. You read it. The truths, the promises, there they are in front of you. There they are. Thy word have I, what? Hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I want that experience. Truth has to get in here. And all of God's word is meant, do. Practice the truth. The truth will set you free. So here in Exodus chapter 6, the people are in anguish, verse 9. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Now, you would think that with that declaration of God, what a wonderful thing, the hope, encouragement, a wonderful future. Exodus 6 and verse 9, would you please note their reaction? They were in anguish, shortness. Implies extreme dejection, extreme discouragement of soul, the irritation, impatience, being powerless, cruel bondage, cruel, hard bondage. It's too disheartening, too demoralizing. They're looking, and their being, what they were, is so locked into them that they won't let it go to tell what God had done for them. To remind himself of what God had done. Do you know you could have in your life such a background, such bondage, bitterness locked in inside of you, that when you seek to get saved or trust God, it's still very powerful in your life. And it dominates your life. And all the wonderment, God has made you a, biblically, a new one, creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. But not for you, because they're still caught in here. Caught. And that bondage, anguish, wonderful truth. But we can't experience it because we're locked in. We don't let it go. We don't let it go. And we have to let it go. And if we don't let it go, of course, then we have no hope. We have little help. And it has no meaning. All of the words, all of the wonderful truths, we say it all the time so that I won't forget it. The Lord is my shepherd, I want. I shall not want. That won't mean a thing to you. I'm not a sheep. Doesn't mean a thing. So here we are looking, and God, his Israel, wonderful thing you've done, and all the hardships of even our founding of our country, very hard things, difficult things, but they were coming together to get something clear, to hang on to bind them together, if they would but honor it. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. God gave wonderful, wonderful victory for Israel. When they trusted God, they never lost a war. They even never lost a man in the war. When he never lost a person. Wow. So now, God, here they are. He have a wonderful, wonderful victory. And verse 2, 21:2. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. Now, in that light, God, they said, we'll take care of the war, the enemy, the opponent. And God said, okay, go ahead and do it. Now, a little victory, went up high, a victory. But you know, we shared it the other day, didn't we? You have to be very careful in your life because you have high points, remember? Going high. You have high. Happy day, way up here. And then you have a sad day, way down here. And every happy day is only happy for a little while. The wonderful whatever you ate is only good so long. And once it's past your taste buds, down in your stomach, it's all over, isn't it? It's all over. How quick it was. And if we start doing that with life, looking like going like this, and now it goes down. We're going to have very ups and downs. We're going to have highs and lows. And I don't mean with pills. I mean just with your mentality. And you don't need to do that. You shouldn't. You need to learn what? To stay steady. Thank God for the high. Thank God for the low. But stay steady. Don't go up with the highs. Don't go down with the lows. No matter how bad, don't go down. Just, it's a low. And then there's a height. Stay steady, steady, steady. Now, in the light of that, they did. They had a wonderful high. But, chapter 21, and in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Was much discouraged. Uh-huh. It was very discouraging for them. Why is that? Well, because it means to be short-handed, powerless. it was too long, it was unnecessary. Why are we doing this? They were discouraged. They just won a wonderful victory. God was right there. But on their journey, they couldn't see very far ahead. All they could do was see a few feet, and then that was a struggle. What do I have to do this next? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's the next part of being alive on planet Earth. And therefore, in the process, back over to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 6, may I pick up, please, in verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They came out of the land of Egypt. They were freed slaves. All they knew, father, mother, grandfather, slave. They were slaves. Now God, you remember this. Now God, how did you address them? Slaves. Here, they're going to see the big Egyptian army, well-trained, chariots and all. Chapter 6, verse 26. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. And then the wonderful little statement, according to their armies. Armies. Now you say, well, the army, high-ranking military order, ready for war. You say, you're crazy. Well, they were slaves. God said, you're my army. You're my army. Wow. You're going to use them. Uh-huh. They're going to be my army. Against the big armies of the Philistines? That's right. That's right. They're my army. I am the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Now, and you pick up again, just to see it, chapter 7, verse 4. But Pharaoh should not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt to bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And God did all of that in a most wonderful, remarkable way. God did it. Now, and remember now, chapter 12 of Exodus. Chapter 12, if I can. In verse 14. This day, 12 and 14. Now, we read it. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, a memorial. I want you to never forget this. I don't want you to forget. I want it a memorial, a memorial. What did you do, God? You brought us out of Egypt, slaves, and we were dressed as slaves. We looked like slaves, but all of a sudden, we were seen by you, God, as an army. Your army marching out of Egypt. God, what a wonderful, wonderful understanding. That we trampling down the corridor of time, inch by inch, foot by foot, and there's my son. There's my son walking. Where he goes, I go. Where my son goes, the father goes. Wow. So now, here's they're going out. They're going, giving wonderful encouragement to go forward. Chapter 14. Chapter 14, please. And you will notice in chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They cried out to God in their marching. Now, what's their problem? Why do they cry? Why isn't America the same? Why do we abandon it all? What is there in our makeup that gets us? Verse 11, chapter 14, verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? We complained unto you, you were doing all those plagues and wonderment with lice and darkness and mice and everything. And we tried to tell you, don't do this. You're going to disturb the Egyptians and make them mad. Is not this the word, verse 12, that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptian? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. And the movement back to Europe, back socialism, headed back there, that's where we want to go. Want to go back. And thus in verse 12, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you. He's going to show it to you today, not next month. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace and be quiet. Now, we go and look at our life and say, well, it could have been better. And if I have to work, I have to do all of that. Why shouldn't I get all the benefits? And just, well, that's because you're going to end up like Europe and other places. And you won't be a happy camper. You won't be. And God has done something wonderful for our country that is probably, more than likely, bye-bye, all gone. To have that truth, to have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To be responsible, to be a responsible person, and to roll up our sleeves and to go with it. To have the opportunity to become, to be, to belong. Ah, who wants that? Wow. So, in Exodus chapter 14, God, what is your word? Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. They didn't have the dots connected together. Israel wasn't connecting the dots. They failed to put the pieces together. They just had to go forward. Are they going forward with understanding? No. Do you know most of our country and all of its great struggles went through the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 items. The first 10 items, because they knew that people are going to abuse the Declaration. So the Bill of Rights ended up the first 10. These are the things that we have to have to make sure nothing happens. To take it away from us. Wow. So now in Exodus, and in the light of the fact they're going forward and forward and forward and forward. Over, if you would please, to Philippians. Philippians in chapter 3. And you would recall, we don't want to get discouraged. We don't want to lose our direction. We don't want to get hung up in the past in the wrong way. We want to be able to have the future. Now, from a human, geographical, national, materialistic way, our future is going to, the future of the world is going to be quite different, to say the least. But our future as believers is ahead of us. And we're marching, moving through time. And we're privileged to have the truth. To know the truth. To understand the truth. To be possessed by the truth. For the truth to own us. And for us to own the truth. Own the truth. Wow. Now, here in Philippians, I would remind you that what are we going to do? So we can't retrieve it. You'd like to. You need to be a good example in every way, all the way to the end, need to be. But we can't have that. But what we can have is what it was all about in the first place, to know the truth. We have these truths. Well, then we ought to pursue them. That's what we're here for. That's what men and women died for. That's what they died for. Do you think they died? We're going to do it. By the way, thank you for that. At 6 o'clock, I'm going to ask some of the men that had some military experience and different things, you know, to share a little bit, because I want to exercise for those who don't know war and heartache, to have a little sense from a testimony from somebody somehow about yesterday. They need to have that. It costs something. It's a wonderful thing that what we have been paid for by blood, so that we could have it. That's why we're here. That's why they gave their life. They didn't give their life because the price of bananas could be kept low. They didn't go out there so they could. Why did they think they went out? Why do you think they went out? The little, remember, stars, World War II, are going out. Wow. What did they go out for? Out for? Did they go? We didn't line. I didn't line up. I was quite old enough. I waited to be. waited. And go. Wow. They lined up. Pow! To get in. Why? To give their life. They did it. Why? It wasn't for the fun of it. We had something. We had a wonderful thing. It wasn't perfect. It was lousy in some ways. But compared to today, it was like a little bit of human heaven. And you know from the memorial with out there in San Francisco, Coronado Island, Coronado out there. The memorial, war memorial next to the big battleship, aircraft carrier. And there's a memorial. The greatest, and this big sign with all the cripples, they're all in metallic out there. You've seen it out there. And in the process, and then the big sign, the greatest generation. The greatest generation. Wow. They had no thought, we're just going to go, whatever it cost. And they knew they were not coming back. And many used to watch the stars go up, you know, on the windows when you walk down the street. And the little gold stars. Father died. Brother died. Another brother died. 3 stars. 2 stars. 1 star. Wow. They all died. They weren't coming back. It was not the sense. But we don't have that. We aren't going to get that. Wow. So now, Philippians chapter 3. God, what are we supposed to do? Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend to lay hold of that for which I am also I am apprehended of Christ. God has a wonderful plan for my life, and I want to lay hold of that plan. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What is that? I'm going to forget those things which are behind. I'm not going to linger. I'm going to remember them so that I go forward. I am forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea in order to meet God, to be introduced to God, to be introduced to a wonderful God. The Puritans, the Pilgrims, they all came over here to get to God in their own ways, whatever they were. They came seeking God, not the system of Europe and that, but to seek God in a most wonderful way. And thus, Israel failed to enjoy being a nation that they should be. They're going to be. Israel is going to be the nation of the world, but not yet. Here we are on planet Earth, and God has made these United States of America. God has made these states to have a wonderful privilege to know the truth, to honor the truth, to exercise the truth. What do you mean? God, you are the true God, and you have given us thy word to know. You have given us the truth in your word to know you, the true God. And of all the privileges in forever, there is none like that. None like that. To surrender. To submit to God. To surrender. Peace must be settled. We are enemies of God until we get saved. And we surrender. We yield. And we are conquered by the cross. By a crucified Christ, we are conquered. And being conquered by the conqueror, we enjoy conquest. We enjoy the conquest, the truth. We can live because we're conquered. A conquered people. Remember, there is no peace without war. Do you know part of the problem? We'll pick it up tonight and all these good things. You know the problem? People don't understand what peace is. What is peace? I bet you, just here with us, dear people. And it went up and down. And write what you think peace is. P-E-A-C-E. Write it down. Tell me what you experience personally. Peace. What peace do you experience personally down in here? Write it down. Well, and I'll bet you it isn't maybe what it should be. And that's why we're at war all the time, but we think we call it peace. We don't know what peace is. And if we don't know what peace is, how on earth do you understand what war is? Do you know what war is? How can you know that unless you know what peace is? How can you know? Whatever you're calling peace, if it isn't, then what do you call war? You see, you have to have hot, cold, right, wrong, light, darkness. You have to have something. Wow. So God, here we are. We're going to look to you. God help us. And in the process, over if you would please, in your Bible. Oh, to Isaiah chapter 49. You know, it's a wonderful thing, memory is, and we forget. When you take the Lord's table, you remember the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." God never forgets. We do. And when we forget, we lose out. Because the contrast of being happily healthy for the moment is because you understand what sickness could be. And you're healthy. You're glad. You feel good to eat your pizza and stuff. Wow. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me." Oh, Israel, no, it's you have forgotten God. God didn't forget you. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. My walls continually, and thy walls are continually before me. I'm constantly thinking of you, Israel. I don't forget Israel. Over in Jeremiah, if you would, in chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. You remember the little expression, little phrase, Israel's not doing good. Verse 3, Jeremiah 9:3. And they bent their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Where's the truth? Everyone's got, but where's the truth? Go to all the countries, let's mark them off. Mark them off, and let's start, and we'll go spin the ball, the world, and we'll go around. Let's go to each country. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all of them. Tell me to what measure the government is after the truth. Find me a country that they're after the truth. For the people. Wow. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Very obvious. Very clear. Very public. You know them in your heart. Know what? I want life. Liberty. Happiness. You know these truths. Men and women died and gave their lives and limbs for these truths. Wow. God, here we are. 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence. 4 of them were from the state of Connecticut. And they signed that. They signed it with their sacred honor. Their sacred honor. Remember the end of the Declaration. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. What a wonderful thing, you know. Where do you find that? Where on earth do you find that? Everyone does their own thing. Wow. Such commitment. Noble, wonderful. Committed. Wow. God help us. So therefore, they were willing to die to protect our right to know the truth, to pursue our right to possess the truth, to provide our right to exercise the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the truth. The truth will set you free. I am the truth. I am true, the word true in the Greek, reality. I am the true God. I am the true Savior. There is no other God, no other Savior. Just you, God. That's right. To know the truth, we'll pray. Our God and Father, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. Here we are on planet Earth, seeking our God to know you, to take advantage of the day and the hour in which we live, and all of the lives of men and women in so many wars and so many ways that have made it possible. God, we owe you, we are debtors to you. We owe them. God, thank you for loving us, for dying on the cross, for caring about us. God, help us in remembering yesterday. To run quickly, swiftly, foot by foot, inch by inch, as it were, in your direction. Honor yourself in us, among us, about us, and may many men and women, boys and girls, across these United States and across the world, all over the world, our God, in the midst of all of the different troubles, may men and women awaken to the fact that you are an ever-present God in the valley, in the mountain, on the sea, in the desert, jungle, God. Thank you for being there. We are here may we exercise here and now to your honor and glory, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You might like to turn in your Bible to 610, I believe.